This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien. A Montana man who was captured after a three-day manhunt north of Helena has appeared in court on a warrant for deliberate homicide. Lewis and Clark County Justice of the Peace Michael Swingley read the warrant to 26-year-old Brandon Conrad Meismer and told him he'll be transported to Great Falls to face the homicide charge. Meismer appeared by video from the Lewis and Clark Detention Center. He declined Swingley's offer to appoint a public defender. Bail's been set at $1.5 million. Meismer is charged with homicide in the shooting death of 26-year-old Cody Steve Briere. A man and woman report Meismer forced them to drive him to Helena, where he carjacked another vehicle. Officers found him Wednesday in a homemade trailer near Black Sandy State Park. A legislative panel yesterday began figuring out how to implement President Obama's Clean Power Plan here in Montana. As Steve Jess reports, that's not easy because the plan is unpopular with many elected officials here and faces an uncertain future.
President Obama says his plan to cut power plant carbon emissions by a third over the next 15 years will show the world America's serious about confronting climate change. But the subcommittee charged with figuring out how Montana will put that rule into practice is facing pressure to just say no. This is Bud Clinch of the Montana Coal Council.
The six companies that I represent would support this committee adopting a position to push back against this rule.
The coal industry wasn't alone in its objections. Montana's official advocate for utility ratepayers, Bob Nelson, said if the Clean Power Plan actually lowered energy costs, as some claim, utility companies would be following it already without a government mandate.
That's not happening, and that's a good indication that these are additional costs above and beyond what would exist without that rule.
For the committee chair, Butte Democratic Senator Jim Keene, the path forward is also unclear because the governor has yet to weigh in, beyond saying he was disappointed with the plan.
It's hard to say, to set an agenda right now, because we don't know what the governor's office is going to do.
Nevertheless, the committee will meet again in January to check on the progress of the carbon-cutting plan, which has to be handed in to the EPA 1 year from now. Steve Jess, Montana Public Radio.
Glacier National Park officials have closed a campground that's drawing bears because of its abundant crop of berries. The St. Mary Campground had been open to only hard-sided camping since late last month because of bear activity. Yesterday, the officials said even more bears have been attracted to the campground as they enter a period of feeding to prepare for hibernation. The closure will last until bear activity decreases. Park officials say no incidents between humans and bears have been reported. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will decide whether a rare aquatic insect that's found only in Glacier National Park should be protected under the Endangered Species Act. The Missoulian newspaper reports that in a settlement with the Center for Biological Diversity, the federal agency agreed to make a decision within a year. The Western Glacier stonefly is one of 10 species of birds, fish, and invertebrates the agency has agreed to rule on. Governor Steve Bullock has ordered state agencies to enact a program to conserve greater sage-grouse populations by the start of next year, as federal officials consider whether more sweeping protections are needed. Critics of the state plan say it has too many loopholes, allowing companies to get around their restrictions. A man is accused of throwing a hatchet at a sheriff's deputy who responded to a dispute at his parents' Corvallis home. The Ravalli Republic reports that 24-year-old Shadrick Traver faces several assault charges and was in Ravalli County Court Wednesday, where a judge set bail at $10,000. State Forester Bob Harrington says Montana has had 347 wildfires on state land so far this year. That's about 30% more fires than a typical year, but the total area burned is less than half of the five-year average. Harrington told a legislative committee yesterday that state firefighters worked hard to knock down fires as soon as they were reported.
All in all, for our agency and for our partners in local government, we were both a combination of very lucky with where the fires occurred, and a lot of good hard work on initial attack helped us catch those fires when they were small.
Putting out those fires has cost the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation a little over $10 million. Harrington says that's a big saving over past years.
Many of you are aware that our average fire suppression costs hover somewhere between $17 and $20 million a year. And so even by that measure, the good fortune that we had, as well as the good hard work that we had from the air and from the ground, really allowed us to minimize the financial cost to the state of Montana.
Harrington's figures include only state land, not federal land, such as national forests, where the biggest fires have occurred this year. He spoke to the 20-member Environmental Quality Council at the state capitol. Corey Stapleton is launching his campaign for Secretary of State with the pledge to provide Montanans with more information on voting trends. The Billings Republican said yesterday he's concerned by what he calls a lack of communication from Secretary of State Linda McCullough and the media on the number of voter registrations voided in 2015. McCullough says in a statement that about 70,000 people became ineligible to vote this year. Those cancellations were due to voter inactivity, death, leaving Montana, or other reasons outlined in state and federal laws. McCullough's office could not immediately say how many voters have been removed from the rolls in previous years. Stapleton says he'd be more proactive than McCullough in explaining voting laws and data. McCullough is term limited and cannot seek re-election in 2016. Protesters from the Crow tribe have built barriers to block a road that leads to the Pryor Mountains. The Billings Gazette reports Crow historian Elias Gozahead and Terry Plainbull's family owns the property along Sage Creek Road southwest of Pryor. They say they're protesting the lack of timely law enforcement response in the Pryor area. They also are protesting oil and gas lines that cross a lotee's land without payment, the diversion of Sage Creek, and the road's degradation. A lotee's are people who own undivided interest in reservation land given to them by the federal government. Gozahead says they want a lotee's to be paid what they're owed and to be able to use their property rights. A tax-exempt organization challenging Montana's election laws that regulate political committees has asked an appeals court to overrule a judge's order to disclose certain information about itself. Montanans for Community Development says in its petition to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that the information U.S. District Judge Jana Christensen ordered the group must turn over interferes with its right to free speech and to freely associate. The Billings-based group wants to prevent the state from enforcing what it calls vague and cumbersome laws that define campaign contributions, campaign expenditures, and political committees. Commissioner Jonathan Modell says those laws prevent outside groups from coordinating with candidates. Christensen previously ruled that the group must answer state attorneys' requests about its formation, operating procedures, communications with candidates, and other information. Authorities say a man has died and three people, including two small children, have been injured in a rollover crash in north central Montana. The Great Falls Tribune reports the crash was reported yesterday afternoon on secondary Route 232 near Havre. Officials say the man was heading northbound in a Ford Explorer when he lost control of his vehicle. He overcorrected and veered into a ditch where the car rolled several times. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. A 26-year-old woman and 2 1-year-old girls inside the vehicle were transported to a hospital with injuries. Their conditions were not immediately known. The occupants in the vehicle had all been wearing seatbelts. That crash is under investigation. Thanks for listening. I'm Edward O'Brien.